open up the House Special Committee on Budget, the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development. Today's Thursday, May 19th, 2005. Today we're going to begin with a work session on House Bill 5126 relating to State Financial Administration, in particular the Bureau of Labor and Industries. With us is Robin Lamont, the Legislative Fiscal Officer for this budget.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So that they are available, if there are any questions, I'd like to recommend that the commissioner be asked to come forward.
Of course. I apologize for not extending that courtesy. Rookie mistake. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just for the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and you're ready to answer any questions you might have.
Good morning.
And with that, Mr. Chair, I will briefly walk the subcommittee through the packages. They are package 090, which are the BAM analyst adjustments that were taken in the governor's rec. They include reductions to services and supplies from the Smart Buy savings, and a fund shift from general fund to other funds to continue aligning other funds expenditures with anticipated revenues. And then there's a very small employee relations board general fund reduction. That totals a reduction of 116,427 general fund, an increase of 79,705 other funds, and a reduction of $370 in federal funds.
What was the ERB reduction?
Let me see if I've got my...
No, I don't need you to look it up.
Okay. I do have my table with me somewhere, but I can get it for you. It was very small. It was maybe less than $100,
if
I recall.
Okay. Never mind. Never mind. I still think of very small in terms of, you know,
$80,000. Oh, no, Mr. Chair, the committee. It was quite small. I can get that for you.
No, please, don't.
LFO is recommending approval of Package 110, which is the Commissioner's Office Central Support Technical Assistance to Employers. It's one position and one FTE, and it's funded with revenues from technical assistance publications and seminars. There's an adjustment in the package for the PERS reduction. LFO is also recommending approval of Package 140, in the wage and hour division, which is the prevailing wage workload increase. That's one position and one FTE, and it is funded with fees charged on prevailing wage construction projects, again with an adjustment for the PERS rate reduction. Package 141 initially in the governor's budget would have funded a prevailing wage apprenticeable occupations effort. The agency requested that that package be withdrawn when it became apparent that their prevailing wage workload was significant, and they asked to have that package be deleted and a new package be created to address the prevailing wage workload in the wage and hour division. LFO is recommending not approving the package with a budget note that is on page 2 of the memo. And that budget note basically directs the Bureau of Labor and Industries to report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee no later than July 1, 2006 on their workload, the workload of the individual prevailing wage rate investigators, and the timeliness of investigations. And that was based in part on the testimony that this committee received from the industry about the difficulties they were having because of projects being held up while the prevailing wage rate investigations were occurring. Package on page 2 of my memo Package 801 are the standard adjustments that you're seeing in all of the budgets for reduced personal services for PERS and also Attorney General rate reductions. And then Package 811 is a 3% reduction to the general fund services and supplies adjusted for the Attorney General rate reduction so that we aren't taking that out twice. With that, we have a total budget of 20,639,575 dollars and 108 FTE. We were asked to review the ending cash balances. The ending cash balance in the Bureau of Labor and Industries for 2005-07 is 2,308,284 other funds and 2,908,546 non-limited other funds. The ending balance includes the following operating funds: 1.9 million from the prevailing wage rate fund, 898,899 from contracts and interagency agreements, and 116,507 from the technical assistance for employers fund. These balances represent the cash flow reserves needed until additional funds for negotiated agreements are received or during periods when other fund revenues are pending but not yet received. And then the non-limited wage security fund balance represents the funding available for future payments of wage claims against the fund. And again, this fund only receives capitalization once a biennium. So what you see here is what is essentially available for the 05-07 biennium.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Ivaki.
With regard to the description of what the balances represent, does this imply that these are almost like debt service contractually bound monies? They're already committed somewhere and will be spent, or they are there in the event that those commitments do arise and can be used for that? Or a mixture?
It's a mixture of both. Because of when funds are received, when revenues are received, it's a sort of a revolving kind of balance. There are peaks and valleys, and so the ending balance is there to ensure that sufficient funds are available.
I'm curious if the fees and other funds that are received by the agency throughout the biennium are enough for the expenses they have during the biennium so that there is always an amount similar to this that would roll over from biennium to biennium.
Mr. Chair, Representative Avakian, the wage security fund is probably the best prime example to use in this particular instance. It's very hard to predict the wage security fund. A couple of things you have to remember is we had three things happen last interim after the legislature appropriated $2 million out of that fund. The first thing that happened is that's a once-a-biennium payment by the Employment Department. However, this biennium, they have been gracious enough to give a partial payment early, which is why you see that fund balance so high. What happened was what the anticipated revenue versus what was projected, it was $500,000 shy of what was what actually came in over what was anticipated. That was the first thing. The $2 million appropriation from the legislature was the second thing. The third thing was Eastmoreland and Woodland Park hospitals that went out of business owing their employees. The wage security funds can pay up to $4,000 one-time payment to an employee who has earned those wages but not been paid them by their employer by virtue of them generally going out of business, bankrupt, with wages owing. And between Eastmoreland and Woodland Park Hospital, that cost the fund nearly $1 million alone with the 380 out of the 450 employees that made the claim. We were running to the point where we thought we would have to, we went to the emergency board and warned them that we may have to have an appropriation. Fortunately, what happened, and another thing that you can't anticipate, is that we found a successor company to an original company that had a very large claim, and they paid $100,000 in reimbursement back into that fund, which was able to keep it going. So wage security fund is very fluctuating. You can't tell how many claims you're going to have. You can't tell for sure until you actually get the dollars in from the employment department exactly what it's going to be, and it fluctuates quite a bit.
Chair, may I follow up?
Of course.
Well, and of course, the wage security fund is just one of the fund balances that, that you're managing. But let me try and be more specific. Because many of the agencies will carry a 3 to a 6 to, we've seen up to like an 11-month ending balance. For such situations, just as you just described, but we'll always want to have that money in there in case something bad happens. And so plan their fees and other revenue sources accordingly so that they will cover all of the anticipated expenses they have so that they're not forced to dip into that reserve account. Follow me? And what I'm curious about is if you manage your reserve account in a similar fashion so that you have set all of your revenue stream in such a way that you can cover anticipated expenses, and that really is just an emergency. For, as an example, you went to the emergency board. Did you go to the emergency board in order to seek money so that you did not have to tap into your reserve account? Because that's money that you wanted to leave there, or were you anticipating you were going to exhaust that reserve account and therefore need more?
Well, actually, Mr. Chair, Representative Avakian, as it shows in our cash balance chart, which is in your book, and I can give out copies of this one.
You can just explain it.
But basically, we were running out of money. Virtually, we were at the point where you have to remember that part of that fund pays for some of the salaries of those investigators who do those type of cases. I was at the point where I would have had to have made a decision to suspend payments of those $4,000 maximum, change the maximum, something. We were going to virtually run out of money at that point.
And when you say that, Mr. Chairman,
of course.
And when you say that, that includes the $5.2 million that would be in this estimated ending cash balance?
Mr. Chair, Representative Avakian, we could only use the wage security fund for wage security claims, so it would be only the part of the balance that was strictly wage security fund.
Right.
And we were down to the point where it was literally going to exhaust itself.
Ms. Lamont, if you could clarify then, when under your section here that lists approximately $5.2 million in ending cash balance,
correct,
does that money include the wage security fund?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chair.
And how much of that is the wage security fund?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the wage security fund is the non-limited other funds piece of it. So the $2.9 million?
That's the wage security fund.
That's correct.
And the
balance is
what's listed underneath.
That's correct.
So that what's listed underneath represents the 2.3.
That's correct.
Aha. I'm done, Mr. Chair. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Why don't we continue?
The next discussion that we need to have involves the agency's performance measures. If you recall, we had a fairly extensive discussion about the performance measures in the subcommittee. The performance measures are new this biennium, and they were approved by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee in the fall. and what you have in front of you then is the current status of those performance measures. My recollection is that the subcommittee was quite pleased with what they had been provided, and that there were no recommended changes.
Okay.
And with that, Mr. Chair, if you are willing, we could have the subcommittee move the performance measures and the budget as amended, and then hold off on the final motion to move the budget bill until a later date.
Okay. So I'm clear. We're going to need a motion to approve the budget on the Bureau of Labor and Industries, including the entire LFO recommended budget, including the policy packages,
mm-hmm.
including the budget note,
right.
and also the performance measures.
That's correct.
Okay. Commissioner Gardner, is there anything you would like to add to this budget presentation?
Not at this time, Mr. Chair.
Is this something you folks can live with?
Mr. Chair, yes, we could.
Okay, thank you.
So moved.
Okay. Representative Avakian moves House Bill 5126, the budget bill for the Bureau of Labor and Industries. That includes the LFO recommended budget, the policy packages as listed, the budget note as presented, and also the performance measures as stated to us by Ms. Lamont. Any questions? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved.
Commissioner Chair.
I'd like to hold that. I'm going to ask that we recess just for 5 minutes while we. And we are going to open. Do I need to open a work session on House Bill 5127 relating to state financial administration, in particular the Employment Department budget? With us is Monica Brown, our legislative fiscal office. I'm going to ask if you folks would like to come up. And Slatish, if you'd like to, do you want to come on up, or are you okay back there?
I'm okay back there.
Okay. All righty.
Mr. Chair and members, I believe you have my recommendation before you. I think as has been a pattern, I will go by each program area and discuss the packages and LFO's recommendation. So in your packet, starting on page 3 with the Unemployment Insurance Division, they have 4 packages. The first being package 090, the analyst adjustments, these are reflecting anticipated savings from the Smart Buy initiative. LFO is recommending approval. There is a placeholder package in here for Scenic, just to let folks know that this is one of the 12 agencies that will be participating in that data center consolidation. No adjustments to the budget are proposed at this time. That will be handled at a later date. Package 302, the agency had proposed to establish 2 revenue agents and an information systems specialist. This is actually a carryover from the prior biennium where they had limited duration positions. LFO is recommending approval of the package, but continuing the positions as limited duration and modifying the PERS rate. The reason for the continued limited duration is, again, because they are one of the agencies part of Scenic to discuss the ISS position, and because anticipated that UI claims and potentially fraud investigation should be declining with an improved economy, so we could reevaluate that in 07-09. Package 801, again, is just the standard PERS and Attorney General rate adjustment package. Moving on to Business and Employment Services Program on page 5. Again, 4 packages. The first, package 070, we are phasing out about $15.5 million in limitation and 21 positions. Anticipation of 2 programs ending, Jobs Plus and Groundfish Transitional Income, which was a temporary federal program. Package 090, again, the Smart Buy Initiative savings. Package 303, establishing limited duration positions to meet the workload of grants and contracts. This is a package that comes before the committee every biennium. They're actually asking for fewer positions than they have in the past. Again, they fill these as needed when other agencies contract with them for services. Modifying that package for the lower PERS rate. And again, package 801, PERS rate adjustments for their base employees and Attorney General rate adjustments. In the child care division, again, a revenue shortfall, fewer federal dollars, federal dollars insufficient to keep pace with the essential budget level, the standard inflation adjustments. So that's just being brought in line with anticipated revenue. Package 090, again, smart buy initiative, recommending approval. Package 301, you may recall the conversation around the child care contribution tax credit. This will be the first biennium that the agency is actually able to implement some of those dollars with the donations that have been received. The annual credit is $500,000. The taxpayer gets 75 cents on the dollar for that tax credit, so you're recognizing the phasing in of that program. LFO was recommending approval with the understanding that DAS would unschedule $1 million of this limitation pending the sale of all of the tax credits. They have sold, I believe, the 2003 and 2004, but not all of the 2005 and 2006 have been sold to fully fund this. So just unschedule that pending the sale of those. And also direct the agency to return to the emergency board and report in on the pilot program that they're doing right now with the child care money. I believe they have the contract in place or will soon, and that pilot will be underway. Package 801, again, standard PERS and AG rate adjustments. Package 811 is a 3% general fund reduction to services, supplies, and capital outlay per the House Chair's plan. Moving on to Office of Administrative Hearings, page 9, just the two standard packages for Smart Buy Initiative and adjustments for the PERS and Attorney General. And in a new section that was carved out of Business and Employment Services, it's just represented in a new program. These are not new services. It's in the Workforce and Economic Research section. Again, the two standard packages for Smart Buy and PERS and Attorney General rate adjustments. And with that, Mr. Chair, that is the final number recommendations. There are some budget notes that are proposed for adoption. As previously mentioned, the first one is to have them report in to the emergency board by September 2006 on the child care contribution pilot program. The second one was discussion between the Department of or the Human Services Subcommittee and the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee on the crossover services in child care and all the various agencies that is being provided in state government. What is being proposed here is that Employment, Department of Human Services, and Commission on Children and Families review Oregon statutes and compare those to other states and come back with proposals on whether our current structure is appropriate or whether there's a better one in place, and that they report into the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. If there are no questions on that, moving on to performance measures in the packet, I think there's considerable discussion in the joint committee, a few recommendations on page one that the customer service measures that the agency is currently tracking on their own, that those be deleted and kept internally in opting for the statewide measure that has been added. There are also some additions of measures that the agency is currently tracking internally that we're asking them to report to the legislature that is cost per placement and cost per claim. Again, these are not new measures, just having them reported to the legislature. Also proposing that the agency add, again, bring forward the internal measures that they have on the Office of Administrative Hearings. The ones that were in here were the activity related to unemployment insurance activity. But as we discussed, that panel is a central panel, and they also provide services to other agencies. So we're just asking them to bring forward measures to tell us how they're doing for the other agencies as well as their internal. And with that, Mr. Chair, I think that concludes LFO's recommendation.
Perfect. Really quick before we take a motion on this, I want to point out in the interest of good government that I have a potential conflict of interest as I have a significant financial interest in a company that works with clients who potentially work with the Employment Department. And so I want the citizens of District 57 and the citizens of the state of Oregon to know that a potential conflict of interest does exist. In addition, I want the committee to know that should other budget bills involving the Employment Department come forward, if the intention of the chair to look at the Trade Act program and see how coordination can be enhanced between that program and our small business partners. So with that, I just want to put all that on the record. So.
Mr. Chair, I would move that LFO's recommended budget with the dash one amendments and the performance measures as described be adopted.
Thank you. Representative Abakian moves House Bill 5127, the Employment Department budget. This includes LFO's recommendations, budget note, and performance measures. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved. For the record, Representative Krupp will soon be coming down to record his vote on this motion as well. We do need...
I'd be pleased to either carry both, or if you want to give one to Rep. Krupp, that's fine, too.
Okay.
Whatever you'd like, Mr. Chairman.
You know, I think I'm going to carry this budget.
Good.
If that is all right.
For now.
It'll be the first one.
Didn't mean to exclude you in my
comment. I haven't carried a bill yet, and I figured, you know, let's get the cobwebs out. So I'm going to carry this one. Is that all right?
Oh, yep. We didn't pass out the other
one. Do we need a recommendation to pass it to full?
Yes.
With the due pass recommendation.
Yes.
Representative Abakian.
Well, I will just amend my motion that it be sent to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We've got that on the record. Seeing no other issues before the committee, we are going to adjourn for the day. Thank you.
Thank you.